You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, Todd.
Oh, I haven't even looked at this mock draft.
Mel Kiper getting ready for Christmas morning here in about 2 weeks. He has put out his fourth mock draft. Constantly putting out new mock drafts, getting intel. I'm starting to kind of talk in a Mel Kiper cadence right now. So he came out with a new mock draft today. He's got quarterbacks going for the top five. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May to New England, then Arizona making their trade up to five with the Chargers and taking J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, Minnesota.
What did I say?
Arizona.
Excuse me. Yeah, Minnesota. Arizona's got them taking Marvin Harrison Jr. So then I quickly go over to number 12, see what he's got for the Denver Broncos. And oh my goodness, if this pick comes to fruition, the amount of heads that are going to explode around Broncos country when Roger Goodell goes up and says, with the 12th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo.
Wow.
Then just sit back
and watch it burn.
Watch it burn. Have your popcorn ready. Can you imagine with Bo Nix still on the board? Michael Penix still on the board, that they go another corner. Oh,
my goodness.
The next morning will be heaven around here.
All right, let me see.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it will.
Grab your popcorn, everybody.
But that means.
So here's what he wrote, by the way. Here's what he wrote. I thought hard again about giving the Broncos quarterback Bo Nix, but I talked myself out of it. I just don't think Nix is a first-round quarterback. I have a round two grade on him based on everything I've seen on tape. He lit up defenses for the Ducks the past two seasons, 74 touchdown passes to just 10 picks, but there's some risk involved based on what he was asked to do in the Oregon offense. His average pass traveled 6.3 yards downfield last season, which was the sixth shortest among 125 qualified FBS quarterbacks. Instead, Denver can look to improve a defense that ranked 30th in yards per play allowed last season and pair Mitchell with Pat Surtain. Mitchell is my top-ranked cornerback, had 46 pass breakups in four seasons at Toledo, and he ripped off an elite 4.33 second 40-yard dash at the combine. He's ready to play early and often as a rookie.
You know what?
Well, first of all, how about that assessment of Nix?
Yeah, well, I mean... Some would say, hey, short passing game, not very, or that's all they did. You know, you still have to make quick decisions. You still have to get the ball out of your hand. And I thought that's where he really excelled, is quick decisions, ball out of his hand, accurate throws. So that part is really good, and that's some of the boring that I like. But I just went through Mel's second round, projected second round as well. He doesn't have Bo Nix going in the second round.
No, he does. He does.
He does?
Yeah.
Where?
You missed it. He's got the Giants moving up and taking
him. Sure, it's the first pick.
With the first pick in the second round. Yes.
Oh, first pick in the second. Okay. Because I saw the Penix pick.
Yeah. Yes, Penix going to the Rams at 37.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is. Bo Nix right there, 33. My fault.
Yep.
My fault. So, theoretically, then, for Broncos, I cannot get out of my mind that I believe the Broncos are going to try to trade back. I still believe that that's what they're going to do.
Well, if Mel's right and people are viewing Bo Nix and Michael Penix as second-round quarterbacks, do whatever you can to move back.
Correct. And get yourself a second-rounder.
Correct. Yes. Yes. But you got to have to get, but again, you know, you say snap your fingers, go get me a second rounder. Well, to do that, though, you're going to have to trade down with a team that's really looking to move up.
Mm-hmm.
And will have to give up a lot of capital to move up. You can't say, hey, let's trade down to 16 with Seattle and pick up an extra second-round pick. You're not going to get an extra second-round pick in that kind of trade.
Right, you'd have to trade down.
You'd have to say to, let's say, a team like, you know, Houston at 23. They covet somebody, right? And they want to move back up.
I still don't know if you're going to get a second rounder.
Well, if somebody's looking to move from like 23 to 12, the kind of
ammo
that you need, that's what I'm talking about. That if you're going to say, hey, let's trade back and get a second round pick.
The team I keep looking at, they did a deal with Pittsburgh a couple years ago. They went up and got the linebacker, Bush from Michigan, and then the Broncos fell back and got Noah Fant at 20. I think it was 20 as well. Not well for either team.
No.
But...
I was doing my best John Elway there.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
But at least you made that deal before. So what about, hey, the Steelers need offensive linemen. There's great offensive linemen in this draft. If they say, hey, man, we covet this guy at 12, we're going to move up to grab this dude. Do you think if you move back to 20, that would be enough, that 8 picks, to get yourself a second rounder?
All I know is I want to be seated right next to James Merrillat when the Broncos take a corner at 12.
Oh, my gosh.
A corner from Toledo.
Toledo.
I got to be there.
There's nothing like a corner, like a MAC conference corner.
Right. Toledo. What are they? Oh, no, they're not the Zips. That's Akron.
Akron's the Zips. Toledo
are they the Mud Hens? Oh, no, that's the minor league baseball team.
The Toledo Astronauts, I think. No.
No.
The Toledo. What are the Toledo?
Johnny, can you look that up for us, please?
What's the Toledo? Toledo, let's just try to guess it.
Ohio?
If you were like from Toledo, Ohio, what would you nickname yourself? What just says Toledo?
Poisoned Waters? No.
No. That would be Michigan.
Sorry.
That would be Michigan. The Flammable Waters? Toledo.
What am I supposed to be looking at exactly?
Toledo, college. University of Toledo.
What's like their mascot?
Yeah. No, their nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their mascot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like the Idaho Vandals.
Well, yeah, that's the mascot.
Well, okay.
What do you mean, okay?
I know. Anyway, go ahead.
Are you still guessing? Or?
No, okay. We're done.
Rocky the Rocket.
The Rockets.
Toledo Rockets.
Yes, that's
right. I knew it had something to do with space.
You were close. I apologize.
I knew it.
I apologize.
Oh, yes.
I apologize.
Yeah, I said the Toledo Astronaut.
No, you're right.
Rockets. I knew it was something with... I knew it had
space. All that time that
stuff.
You spent with Josh Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
You are right, Mark, and you are handsome.
Yeah, why did Josh Dobbs not go to Toledo?
Joshua Dobbs, you know, loved the eclipse the other day. You know he loved
it. Oh, my God.
He was geeking out. He was looking at the... What were you getting all about?
Talk about D-bag.
Oh, right.
I was talking about... They said, the golden ring. That's when you kneel down and you propose to your space nerd girlfriend.
Oh, it would be, would that be the ultimate, I don't care what you want, fans, Sean Payton move? If he's like, look, I can win with Jarrett Stidham. I'm taking a corner. That would be...
Damn the consequences.
That would be the ultimate, I don't care.
Yeah.
What's his name? Tommy, the actor there that was in the movie The Fugitive and all the...
Oh, Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
That's Harrison Ford saying, I didn't kill my wife. And he's just like, I don't care. That'd be Sean Payton.
I don't care.
Relax.
We got a text that when the Broncos moved from went from 10 to 20 with Pittsburgh, right? Got a second and third round pick.
Yes, they used it to take Drew Lock.
Drew Lock, that's right. So, yeah, if you move down to 20,
but you got to move back far enough, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to move back into the 20s. Get yourself a second.
But see, you've always been, and I think you're right in saying this. What's your philosophy about how many true first round players are in the first round? I think you've only said like 13 or 14.
I said 15 to 18.
And that basically once you get to the 18th pick in the first round that there's no real difference between 19 and
42. Yeah.
So if you're right, then you'd be okay with the Broncos not taking one of those pure first round players and instead trading back and taking one of those guys that are in that giant pool of 19 to 47. You'd be okay with that?
Yeah,
pick up an extra pick?
Because you're getting two really good football players that are going to that should become starters and big time contributors.
Well, Broncos country, how would you feel if Sean Payton took a cornerback?
Oh man, he might do it.
And by the way, not Terrion Arnold from Alabama. No, we're talking about a dude from Toledo. How'd you feel about that?
A dude named Mitchell.
Yes. A rocket. How would you feel about that? RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next, how much would you pay to have dinner with Deion Sanders? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Wow! I feel good.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to hear. Wow! I feel
How much would you pay to have dinner? Not with Deion Sanders, but simply to be in the same room with Deion Sanders. Well, CU and their 5430 Alliance, the altitude in Boulder, 5430 Alliance is putting on this primetime elite dinner. And it's to raise money. I'll get into what they raise money for in a second. But you can have dinner with Deion, but it's going to cost you.
Ooh.
Well, in fact, you can't have dinner now with Deion because the table where you can eat dinner, break bread with Deion Sanders, sold out like immediately. The VIP prime table.
Uh-huh. I love this.
For the price of $20,543,
right,
you get to eat with Deion Sanders. That's the VIP prime table. The prime table, $17,543. One table in Coach Prime section. Elite table, one table with two future pros, $15,543. That's probably like Shador and Travis Hunter. The black and gold table, $12,543. One table with two CU coaches or student athletes. Buff table, $7,543. That's one table for friends and family. Or the golden ticket, $1,053.40. That's an individual ticket. And the goal is to raise close to $1 million. What for? Well, it's this 5430 Alliance Collective. And as it was explained to me, the collective is a little different than an NIL, but used to pay players. In exchange for the money given to the players, they do pro bono advertising. 5430 is a separate entity run by outside CU alums and large donors built to keep the money brought in to compensate players separate from regular CU athletics revenue. So, again, it's part of the new age of big-time college right. sports where you got to have the money.
So it's a bunch of big boosters basically representing their program and creating opportunities, right?
Yes. It's a fundraiser. Let's call it for what it is. It's no different than the $25,000 a plate political fundraisers that everybody does to raise campaign funds, and it's the same thing. Which, hey, you gotta have the money,
right?
These days, you gotta have the money. So if this can help raise about $1 million, do it. Awesome.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? And it's a great, I mean, what a great, I don't know what they're doing at the event. It's dinner. I'm sure somebody's speaking, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Coach Prime will get up and say a few words, I would imagine. But yeah, well, that's cool. It's awesome.
And everybody who is going understands what they're there for. Get out your checkbook.
Right. We're going to help, you know.
We're helping the program.
Help the program and create some funds. And then, you know, we're going to give it to some kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can beat, you know, other teams in the portal.
Boom. There you go. And it's the way the game is played.
Sure.
And you better have deep pockets. You better have people who are willing to donate. Like you got the famous, you know, videos and pictures of some, you know, 5-year-old Alabama fan who's breaking his piggy bank and sending in, you know, $15 to Alabama football.
Right. Love it. Do you see the, what's the guy's name that does the, that's a big Alabama fan? He's a older guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's his name?
How about Roll Down Tide?
No, not that guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Willie. Is it Willie?
Yeah, Willie. I think you're right. Willie.
Willie, the Alabama fan, who, this guy, his friend is always taking video of Willie, who always has Alabama gear on, no shoes.
Right. No shoes.
Just standing out there in the woods.
Yeah.
And talking about Alabama stuff. And this time he was talking about how excited he is that Nate Oates, the basketball coach, is not going to leave Alabama.
Roll damn tide, Paul.
That was a caller into the Paul Feinbaum show. Again, not Willie.
Willie doesn't need a phone. Willie just rolls around.
Plus, Willie, I don't know if Willie's capable of putting together, you know, 2 or 3 sentences in a row that would qualify for talk radio.
Well, I know, but you don't need to if you're in Alabama. All you got to do is say, roll damn tide. You heard some of the callers in the Feinbaum show?
I'll stop right there. Otherwise, okay. I'm going to say something about the good folk of Alabama that will get me in trouble. But, yeah. Did I say that 54-30 is the attitude of Boulder? I think it's.
No, you said the altitude.
Yeah, it's the altitude.
Not the attitude.
How does Idaho? Somebody wants to know, how does Idaho raise NIL money? Are you involved in that?
Raising NIL money
for Idaho?
No. Well, I mean, all my cameos. You know my Cameo account.
Yep.
100% of everything I make on Cameo goes to the University of Idaho Scholarship Fund, but that's not the NIL fund. I don't know how much money they're raising for NIL in Idaho.
Have you taken on that request yet? That special request yet? From that?
No. I've bypassed
on that one. Oh, man.
I passed on that one about seven times now.
I wish I could tell that
you
story.
You have to tell us.
No, you can't. Well, can you? I guess you could. If you don't want. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, no, it just is weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
A lot of people request weird stuff.
I know, Rogue, but this is stuff. You know me. I'm not afraid to wedge drive Mark into saying something awkward.
If it's too weird for this show, then it's got to be weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it just is.
We have standards. Although we'll push them from time to time. Like, here's one. A texter reacting to the possibility of the Broncos, as Mel Kiper predicts in his latest mock draft, taking a cornerback from Toledo.
Right.
How would you react to that? Texter says, I'd staple my foreskin to the wall if they took a cornerback. Can I say that?
Can you say that?
Can I say that?
Johnny's out, so Rogue says it's okay.
It's part of the body.
Yeah.
It's not a curse word or anything.
It's not a curse word.
No.
It's part of the body.
Yeah.
It's like all those commercials on TV that talk about the...
I don't understand. That's something I've been perplexed by for a while.
I know, but they
how many new medications?
It's only acceptable on air, Mike, if you describe what he was saying.
Yes.
Or if you, to the audience who doesn't understand what he would be stapling to the wall, if you would be so kind to explain it.
Are you trying to set me up?
No.
Are you trying to say, well, then will you explain it?
I'm good.
I'm not going to explain.
Yeah,
it.
This is the one I don't understand.
I think people understand what that is.
Is,
and that it would be very painful if you stapled it to the wall.
Okay, here's
thus bringing your point home that if they took a cornerback, you'd do that. Very painful.
This is the thing I don't understand about a lot of the medications that are being pitched today on television.
Uh huh.
You know, for different Skyrizi and all these different medications. Like, do not take this medication if you're allergic to this medication. Well, how would you know you're allergic to the medication until you take it and have a reaction? You don't.
Trial and error, yeah.
Right. The other one is an obscure amount of these medications make your perineum swell. And I don't understand how in the world.
You're right there. All right.
Why is, like, why would that? And how do you realize? Like, man, I was just sitting down here and I felt like. Incredibly squishy and swollen.
Yeah.
In that area.
Is there a way I can position myself with a mirror or something to check that out? I don't know.
I mean, how do you...
Honey, check this out.
Yeah. Honey, will you take a look at this for me? See if it seems swollen to you? This is the first time I've ever looked at it. How would I know?
I didn't even know about it until I saw the commercial and they defined it for me. Well, Okay.
That turned quickly.
What's trending? Coming up next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
All hail Nathan MacKinnon. 50 goals, putting together a career season, and in my opinion, clinching. He was already the trending favorite, but I think last night's performance clinched the MVP, the Hart Trophy for Nathan MacKinnon as he got his 50th goal.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, I never thought in my life I'd score 50. Honestly, I never really thought I would. It feels good. Obviously, a lot of amazing plays from everybody all season. A lot of empty nets. A lot of hard work from the whole lineup. And I think it's a team achievement, honestly.
What's the most goals scored ever in a season?
Oh.
What a Gretzky. It's got to be Gretzky, right?
Yeah.
You score 100? 80? 80 something?
Somebody got over 80. Hold on a second. No, Wayne Gretzky had a...
I think he had over 100.
Stupid.
Yeah.
He actually did it multiple times. Gretzky had... 92 goals is the most in a season. He had 92. He had 87. Brett Hull had 86. Mario Lemieux had 85. That's nuts, man. And all, I mean, you're talking about averaging a goal a game. Averaging over a goal
over
per
a goal.
Game.
Over a goal game, yeah.
Wow. But hey, these days the NHL's changed a little bit. Goaltending's better. It's a lot more wide open than it was about 10, 15 years ago, but still not to those 1980s levels. And to get over 50, that is a heck of an accomplishment. And Nathan MacKinnon is going to win the MVP, and it's going to be very, very well deserved. Big one tonight for Michael Malone and the Nuggets with Western Conference supremacy on the line against Minnesota.
To all the players, let's go home, and we got a big game in our building against a division rival and a team that we're battling for first place. And we're 1-2 against them. Three games to go. The number one seed is still up in the air. So let's go compete and see what happens.
So here's what's at stake. You win tonight, you move ahead of Minnesota by a game, and you even the season series, which is the first tiebreaker. But then it would still be up to the Nuggets over their last two games to hold on to that one-game lead, because if they do fall back into a tie with Minnesota, the third tiebreaker would come into place, which is record inside your division, and Minnesota would have the advantage there. So the Nuggets either have to win tonight and then win out, or win tonight and have Minnesota lose another game so that they do not end up in a tie. A tie would not be good.
No, a tie.
They have to finish clear.
Like in baseball, tie goes to the runner. In this particular scenario, the tie goes, the tiebreakers go all the way down to Minnesota getting it.
Correct. Correct.
So
you got to finish.
We can't end in a tie.
Game clear of Minnesota. You can make a big step forward doing that tonight, 8 o'clock or thereabouts after tip off. Matt Rhule, now the coach of the Bug Eaters there in Nebraska, looking for some help, I guess. Needs some help. So he brought in Bill Belichick as part of a football clinic that they were doing, and Belichick did the clinic, but he also spent, apparently, hours talking with Matt Rhule and his coaches at Nebraska.
He went 4.5 hours with the coaches. Forget the clinic. Like, he came in and met with our coaching staff. And 3.5 hours in, I was like, Coach, would you like a water, a cup of coffee? Would you like to use the restroom? Because I desperately had to use the restroom, you know? And he's like, I'm fine, Matt.
Dude loves talking football. Dude loves himself some football. It's like watching film with Mike Shanahan.
Right?
Look at Camel. Guy doesn't pee. Like 2.5 hours in, you're like drinking coffee the whole time. Dude, what are you? You got a bag? Like, what? How are you doing this?
No days off!
Right.
So anyway, Bill trying to scratch that football itch since he won't be coaching this year. Tiger Woods getting ready to play in the Masters, even though he doesn't play hardly at all anymore. It's still the Masters, and he still wants to try to play in as many tournaments as he can.
I love golf. I do. I've always loved it. I played other sports growing up, but I just have always loved this sport, and I'd love to compete and be able to have the love I have for the game and the love for competition be intertwined. I think that's one of the reasons why I've had a successful career. I just love doing the work. I love logging the time in, and I love preparing. I love competing, and I love that feeling when everything's on fire with a chance to win, and you either do or you don't.
I'm enjoying this version of Tiger. Humble Tiger. Reflective Tiger. Shedding a light on himself that we didn't hear during his prime, when he was just like, you know, focused cyborg Tiger.
Well, that's because he was... I mean, you didn't have time to have press conferences. He was eating at Perkins and doing things.
Doing things. That's what we're calling it now?
Yeah, he was
that's what we're calling it
he
now?
He was really busy.
Doing things?
Things and whatnot.
He
was involved in a lot of whatnot.
Things and whatnot. A lot of whatnot happening.
There's a lot of whatnot.
A lot of whatnots out there. Long list of whatnots.
Speaking of swollen perineums.
Jackson Holliday from our O's. Our O's. I told you the O's would spoil the Red Sox debut yesterday, 7-1. So our O's, the team that we have inherited as the team that we're rooting for, since the Rockies are not going to be competing for the playoffs, we had to inherit a team and root for a team. So it's the Orioles. Jackson Holliday, their prized prospect, son of former Rocky Matt Holliday. Got that call. You're going to the show.
At first, I just want to commend you for how you've gone about your business down here, dude. Like, that's not easy to do. You kind of carry yourself with a chip on your shoulder. And I think these guys, they notice it. They feed off of it. Mm-hmm. All right, so keep doing what you're doing. All right, it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of time. Has your dad been in town? They haven't come in? All right.
My brothers are in the middle of this season.
He's in this season?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, he's probably a great resource for you, right? I'm sure that you guys are tight. Yeah. He's giving you good advice. Mm-hmm. And all those times that you've been in the locker rooms and stuff, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for tomorrow, trying to get guys out early.
Yeah.
But first, tonight, I want you to call your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk to him. And I want you to thank him for all the times that he's allowed you to come to the clubhouse, be on his pass list, you know, let you hit with the big boys. That's pretty special. And it plays into a lot of what you're about. The second thing I want you to tell him is that now it's time for him to ask permission to be on Jackson Holiday's pass list. Because you're on the big list.
Awesome.
Hell yeah. That's all right. Awesome. I'm fired up.
I appreciate it.
I'm fired up. You've been exceptional down here, brother. You're 20 years old.
I appreciate it.
To handle all this stuff,
dude. That's awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Call your dad.
I will.
Oh, dude, I love those videos now that they do when they... They call the kid into the office, and he gets the word. You're going to the show. You're going to the show.
Man. Tell you what, I'm emotional.
Yeah, you're emotional right now. You're leaking a little bit right now.
I know
now.
What it feels like. I'm so happy for Matt. I mean, I'm happy for the kid, but I'm so happy for Matt. As a matter of fact, Jackson showed up to Daniel's. When Daniel was coming back, when my son was coming back from his Tommy John and was transferring out of UNLV, Jackson and Matt showed up to a showcase where Daniel was throwing for Texas. And so Jackson was like 2 years old at the time. And I got to call Matt and congratulate Matt, man. What an unbelievable. So that is he coming up today? Or did he come up yesterday?
I think he's coming up today.
Dude, that is incredible.
Boy, what a pipeline. This is the benefit. So, look, all this losing the Rockies are doing and will continue to do, it can pay off if they take advantage of all these top 10 picks, top 5 picks, and draft really well, because the Orioles have just drafted exceptionally well. I mean, they've had a ton of, you know, first round picks, first overall picks, but they've picked the right guys. And so you can turn this thing around and become a World Series contender after losing 100 plus games just a few years ago, but you got to do it right.
Something really cool too is he'll be wearing number 7. The first sentence, Cal Ripken Sr. The Orioles reached out to the Ripken family, asked for their permission, and they're all in, so he'll be wearing number 7 as well.
That's cool.
Wow.
That is good
stuff.
Root
for the O's, baby.
That's why
lame and picking, the Braves.
Right. Gee. Way to find a real underdog there.
Come on, man.
Hashtag Birdland.
You cannot,
let's get that trending. Hashtag Birdland.
Like, it's just, first off, you cannot root for another National League team. You broke that's like the Price is Right rules. You broke it already. Embarrassing.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. Dover and Stoke. Dover, I don't know about that Ryan McMahon crush. I mean,
listen. You're not that guy, Pelt.
We're not afraid to push the envelope here. Even I'm a little bit...
right, that was cringy. A little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Man. Coming up next, a listener has called me out for a take that I had today that they claim was, quote, Homerish.
Ooh.
We'll address that, and I'll put that listener in his place. Next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We got a request on the RonaldSlaw.com text line to give our predicted Masters champion.
Okay.
I could go with Scottie Scheffler, but that'd be easy. That's almost like, you went with Rom.
No, that was Rogue did. I went with Koepka.
Oh, that's right. You went with Brooksy.
Brooksy.
Okay. That's solid. I'm going to go with former Masters champion, playing really well this year.
Okay.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Mm.
That's what I'm going with. That's my pick.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Tiger.
Tiger's trying to make the cut for the 24th straight year at the Masters.
Oh, he's
a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Can you imagine if Tiger wins this thing?
He won't win this thing. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you why. Because his body can't hold up for 4 rounds. And I don't think TV does it justice.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been lucky enough to go to the Masters, cover the Masters, walk that is a very, very hilly golf course. And for a guy that's got the physical ailments that he has, I just don't see him being able to hold up for four rounds. I think he makes the cut, but he will blow up in either round three Saturday or round four Sunday.
I went to...
He won't be able to put together four.
Yeah, rounds. I went to U.S. Open outside of Pittsburgh. What was that, Oakmont?
Oakmont, yeah.
Yeah, so. Oakmont?
Yeah, it's Oak something, but I think it's Oakmont.
Yeah, I think it's Oakmont. And I was shocked because on TV, very hilly, like, and you're walking around following a group, you're like, damn, this is...
Yeah.
It's actually hard.
Yeah.
And I'm just walking around, you know, being me.
Just being you, right? Just
being me.
So I'm going to go with Matsuyama. You're going to go with Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue's going with...
Rom.
Rom. She likes,
I don't, what is it that you like about Rom?
Is he swarthy?
Well, I like him because he's from the Basque Country.
Oh, the Basque Country.
He's Basque, even though he plays under the Spanish flag, but he's Basque.
What's Basque? What's Basque?
We had this conversation before.
I forget this stuff.
It's an area in northern Spain and southern France called the Basque Country. Huh. It's a culture or a group of people or an ethnicity of people, I guess.
Great heritage.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just asking. I was just curious.
I've been to in Boise. Boise's got a big Basque community.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hung out with the Basque people.
How are the Basque people?
They're very...
What are they known for?
Basque
people.
What are Basque people known for?
Yeah. Well, you hung out with them.
Yeah.
Are they, like, really accommodating? Are they...
Well, sure. I'm sure they have...
Do they have some, like...
Secret handshake?
Well, not, you know, but do they have
delicious
like some
food?
Delicious food? Like I was going to say, do they have like some traditional
dishes
festivals,
that are beautiful, that are really tasty?
Yeah, like gyros and lamb chops. And,
no.
That's not.
That's Greek, I think, isn't
Greek
it?
Greek food.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gyros, by the way.
I mean, other than that, I like how he's a big hitter, you know?
They got Spanish rice. Do they have Spanish
rice? Paella.
Paella.
Paella is good.
That's Basque.
That's Basque.
Yeah.
Fever, you have a pick? You don't follow golf.
Give me the homer pick and give me Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark, all
right. Traitors.
Wyndham.
No, I'm rooting for Wyndham Clark. This is his first match.
You made your pick.
I know, I don't think Wyndham.
You don't get to hop on the Wyndham Clark train.
No, I know.
When he's in the top three.
Oh, man, if he's wearing the green jacket, that would be so cool. But he's never played there before. Course knowledge matters. Texture came after me for proclaiming... That Nathan MacKinnon clinched the MVP award last night, the Hart Trophy, with his sublime performance. Mike, you're way too confident Nate will win the Hart. Austin Matthews could score 70. Connor McDavid and Nikita Kucherov could both hit 100 assists, the latter of which is about 50 points ahead of his nearest teammate. Don't get me wrong, I think Nate has a great chance. But you're teetering on jinxy cat territory with that strong and homerish of a take. Ooh, I do not. Those are fighting words.
Hello,
I
jinx.
I do not like being called a homer. No.
You don't mind being called a jinxy cat, but a homer is where
I
you
don't
draw
like
the line.
That. I draw the line on that one. Well.
Jinxy, no!
To the texter. I'm not exactly, you know, walking out on a thin limb here, okay? I'm coming from a place of I can feel really good about. Would you agree, Mark, that the Vegas wise guys they seem to know what they're doing?
That's why they build all those big buildings out there.
Right.
Yes,
they don't tend to make too many mistakes, right?
No. Where are they?
The current Hart Trophy odds, according to one site I'm looking at. Nathan MacKinnon is a minus 470 to win the MVP.
So you got to put 470 down to win 100.
Correct. The next closest to Nathan MacKinnon is Kucherov at plus 460.
You lay down 100, you get 460.
That is a Grand Canyon size gap between Nathan MacKinnon and the next guy on the odds chart. It's not even close.
Where's Kucherov?
It's
play?
Over.
Where's Kucherov?
He's going to win. Kucherov's Tampa.
Kucherov.
By the way,
Kaprizov. Yeah, that's how I remember his name. When Coach Mike McDaniels, former Broncos ball boy, when he takes his pants off after a game, that's capris off.
Correct.
I love you guys, man.
Yep. He had his capris on at the coach's
Why wouldn't you? There.
He wears them all over the place.
When you got beautiful ankles.
He does have nice ankles.
Yeah.
Take that, Josh Dover. As a season. Paul Bissonnette on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast, by the way, had this reason for taking Kucherov off his MVP list.
The reason I say that is I want to say he's only like plus five, and he's done so much damage on the power play compared to the rest of the guys. That, to me, would be maybe a reason to pull him off. As opposed, you said it, McDavid. He has to be on the ballot, right? He's gonna be the fourth player all time to hit 100 assists in a season. And people might say, Kucherov's been doing it all year, and McDavid were slow coming out of the gate to the point where they had to fire their fucking coach. But I don't think that you keep McDavid off the ballot.
He was calling Kucherov a power play merchant, that he gets so many of his points on the power play, and he points to the plus minus, which did go up last night. Kucherov is now at a plus nine. Okay? You know what plus minus is, right?
Sure. Time you're on the ice.
Goals for versus goals against. If you're a plus player, that's good, right? Nikita Kucherov is a plus nine.
Where is?
Well, I'm going to let you guess, because I know you don't know this.
Okay.
Where do you think Nate MacKinnon is, plus minus?
26.
Keep going.
30.
Keep going.
40.
37.
Yeah.
So, if you put stock in that stat, I think it's a good stat. Nathan MacKinnon plus 37, Kucherov plus 9.
Where's McDavid? Caught you off guard, didn't I?
It did. I have no problem.
Chubby fingers, activate.
I have no problem putting McDavid on the... If you have a three-person NHL MVP ballot, it would be, for me, it would be McDavid, MacKinnon.
Right.
Probably Auston Matthews.
Yep.
That your same three? That's what you were going with?
Yeah,
we're in lockstep on that one?
You, Auston Matthews.
Connor McDavid's plus 34.
34. So he's behind MacKinnon.
Correct.
All right.
But well ahead of Kucherov.
Also, it's Euro, Mike, not gyro.
No, they're gyros. They're gyros.
Okay. They're not gyros. Okay. That's how Boston people say it.
No, that's how Northeast people, and we were there before everybody else. And we called them gyros. We were there first. You can't come later in the game and then change the way that it's.
It doesn't matter if you're there first. If you've been wrong, it just means you've been wronger longer than anybody else.
No, we were righter longer than everybody else. And then
Writer,
that's probably not correct.
You
but
were more
correct.
Right.
We were more correct. But no, sorry. You know, people took it, twisted it around, came up with their own
Euro
pronunciation, and they butchered it.
Okay.
It's gyro. First time I was out here and I ordered
a gyro,
people look at me like, what? I'm like, a gyro. You know, that thing up there. It says gyro. You mean a euro? I'm like, what the heck's a euro?
Right.
It's a gyro.
A gyro is like a gyroscope.
No, it's a gyro.
No, it's not a gyro. Holy Moses.
Would you agree I'm on more solid footing calling it a gyro as compared to a bagel?
Yes. Yeah, but you're in the same ballpark, but bagel.
Bagel and euro?
Bagel.
That's ignorant.
All right. Whatever. That'll do it for us. Thank you so much.
By the way, just a real quick piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Ice your perineum. Just letting you know.
And that's no cap.
That's right.
Well, if it's going to be on every other commercial, you might as well know what it is and how to take proper care of it.
True.
Dover and Stoke with Ryan McMahon Visions coming up next.